Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. So excited to be together today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple process. We ask members and guests. There's a pew pad on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. That last person, when you're done with it, if you wouldn't mind sending it back to where it got started. And we ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will be glad to get those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things listed there in the bulletin. Under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. It is our 70th birthday. Yeah, 70. Now, wait a minute. If you've reached 70, you need a bigger round of applause than that. 70, there we go. I like the round of applause. We are thankful for so many who made today possible. Miss Sylvia with the food and all the hostess committee. Miss Judy with the pictures and the slideshow. Donna Bates with the big balloons. It was just a great morning. So many people who pitched in to make it happen. So thankful for being a part of that this day. The heart of College Park has always been service and missions, and we are in the month of October, which we have designated as the month of collection. We have several things that we're collecting for Operation Christmas Child, that we'll be putting those boxes together to go around the world. We're working on Grifton. We're headed there in November. We're making food boxes for Grifton. And then locally, we're doing a toy store for local elementary children and their families. So there's lots of opportunities this month for you and I to put Christ's love into action. And so we encourage you to do that as you are able. Be praying for all of those opportunities and how you might play a role in being a part of those needs. Let's see, other things that are listed, many things that are happening in the life of our congregation. We've got a fall retreat is coming up in just a few short weeks. There's opportunity for, we'll be doing a trunk or treat. Also, the inflatable games, there'll be a hot dog supper, lots of places for people to volunteer for an hour at a time, if you choose, be greeter, pass out candy, watch the inflatable games, lots of different ways for you to be involved. This is our way of reaching our neighbors with a safe place to bring their children, and we're excited about the Fall Family Festival, October 27th. Mr. Russell.
We're currently in the middle of the deacon nomination process. The forms are located at both entrances to this sanctuary, at the information desk, all these convenient locations throughout the campus, I guess we should say. We're Baptists, so we've made this form as complicated as we possibly could have. But it's not too bad, and I encourage you to make use of it. It does list those individuals that are ineligible due to the rotation process or due to the household restriction or just because they've been bad. No, not really. Not that last one. The other two are true. But anyway, I went around and looked at the boxes this morning, and I was somewhat underwhelmed by the numbers of nominations found within those boxes. So let's go for it, guys. Nominate someone. But be sure and ask them before you nominate them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. We appreciate that. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're very thankful for you being a part of worship today. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers are going to find you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Did anybody catch a cold between Friday and Saturday? It was 100 degrees one day and 60 the next day. But you know what? I'm thankful that God is God of it all. He knows when we have big changes in our lives that are coming. And he walks through those with us. Even when they knock us for a loop, God is not surprised. We serve a God who sent his Holy Spirit to walk with us, to be his presence with us. We are not alone. Through change, through sunshine, through cloud, we are not alone. And for that reason, we can worship together. Let us prepare our hearts.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be exceeding glad. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will be exceeding glad. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will sing my Maker's praise. This is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and give God praise.
Pray with me. Our Father, you have made this day and everything in it. You set our lives in motion with your very breath. We thank you for this gift. And we know that we don't often treat it as such. Help us to truly be glad for this day. Because you are in it. And you are in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name. You now, the ministry of God's Word, to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. There are pew Bibles there in front of you if you did not bring one today. Page 682 there in the pew Bible. We'll be reading out of the New International Version. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Will you pray with me? Father, this day, some of us are hurting. From secret pains, from fears and doubts and worries and struggles, many left unspoken to others, hidden deep. But Father, you know them far better than we do. Those hidden places that we don't let anybody see. But Father, there is healing available to us this day. You did a miracle through Christ on the cross to give us life. And so many times, as this world shows us time and time again, we can be beat down when we lose sight of you. May we be people of victory. May we be people of hope, even on the darkest of days, when all logic says it's not going to happen. We trust in you. We follow you. You have rescued us from darkness. We have seen the light of your love that has given us a path. May we walk that path in such a way that people are drawn to you. The way we talk and the way we hold ourselves, the way we look at the world, as Jesus did, with love and compassion and mercy and grace. This is our prayer, that the world may see me, may see us, followers of Christ, as people who struggle but have hope, people who hurt with a purpose of finding you everywhere we go. May we be these kind of people. In Jesus' name.
May we pray? 70 years. 70 years of blessing you have given this church. And for 70 years you have used this church to bless us. We are so thankful for what you've done, what you continue to do for us. For 40 years, this church has been blessing me and my family. And I'm so grateful for that. You give us gifts of many kinds. You've given us a wonderful staff. You take care of us and with us. You bless us with talents and resources. Please accept these gifts we share in return. Please accept our time. Please accept these as we do what little we can to express our gratitude for you and what you've done for us. And please use these resources to spread the good news. There are folks in this community that don't yet know you. We can change that. The good news is truly good news. When we hear good news about most things, we tell everybody we see. We need to do that about you, the greatest news of all. Please be with us in the coming week and let us spread your good news and let us be your hands and feet here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
raised me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story. You are, you are my rescue story. You are, you are. You were writing the pages before I had a name, before I needed grace. I'm singing songs of redemption, 'cause every time I ran away, you were louder than my shame. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You are my rescue story. Lifted me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You were my testimony. You never gave up on me. Never gave up on me. You were my testimony. Oh, you never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. This is my testimony. You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story. You lifted me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story. You are, you are.
Good morning. For those of you who might not know, my name's Barbie Kale. I am coordinating our efforts for the Day of Blessing in Grifton, and I want to tell you a little bit more about that today. You know, we all desire to do God's will. Ever since I was maybe 14, I've said, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I still say that. And sometimes God gives you a real bong that says, go do this, like he did Paul or, Jonas and people like that. He didn't do that for me. But what he did do was he gave me a Bible, and he gave me instructions in that Bible. I've received knowledge from Scripture with wisdom about God's will. Some of the things Jesus said were, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Whoever does not do for one of the least of these does not do for me. Go and make disciples of all nations. We're doing God's will as a body when we come together to help a neighbor and speak of his love. Now on November 9th, we're going to take as many people as we can gather together, and we're going to go to Grifton, and we're going to share food. We're going to share music, share testimonies, share love. We need people to go. But there's some things that you can do now to get ready. The first and most important thing is to pray. I want you to pray in now, daily, hourly, monthly, weekly, whatever. Whatever suits you, but pray. Pray for You know what my biggest prayer is that God will be going to Grifton that day and the people will know that we're blessing them because God has blessed us. That's the biggest prayer. There are other things you can do. We are going to provide a meal. Simple meal, toasted hot dogs, baked beans, coleslaw. We need people to help with that. We need people to help prepare the food. We need people to serve the food. We need people to wash the dishes. We need people to help set up tables, all of that sort of thing. We think we'll be feeding about 600 people. And when Raymond and I first heard that, we both went, oh. But then we said, no, 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 God's big. God can do it. So we need people to sign up to go and contribute some resources so that we can feed 600 people. I'm working on it. I need my helper. Okay. I did those backwards. This one was supposed to be for the feeding the hot dogs. This one is for the groceries. I lost it already. It's so good when you have visual aids at work. All right. I want to give you some practical information about the groceries we want to take. And the first thing I want to say is, I looked at those boxes out there in the hall. Some of them are already full. Whoa, College Park, way to go. We anticipate needing about 300 bags of groceries. We need, for one thing, it's heavy, bags about that size. They've got to be kind of big and sturdy. They don't have to be brand new. This orange one was rattling around in the trunk of my car for about a year, I think. But it works. Anything that won't rip. And we're going to give each person a bag of groceries. We have a specific list of the groceries that we want to take. So if you want to, you and your family can go to the grocery store and you can buy a bag of groceries, bring it just like this, done. Buy the little reusable bag or have one out of your basement or whatever. And that's perfect. That's great. Cost, if you go to Harris Teeter and buy name brands, about $30. If you go to Lidl and buy off-brands, about $16, anywhere in between. That's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is bring bulk items off the list, just like is out there. I noticed that the peanut butter and the jelly boxes are totally empty. So if you've been trying to decide, what do I want? Peanut butter and jelly are empty, just letting you know. And we need empty bags. If you're like me and you've got some in the trunk of your car that you keep forgetting to use, and they're big, we need those. We also need money. If we get money donated, we can go to the food bank and buy a lot of the things like peanut butter and jelly. Or we can go to sales and find it cheaper. If we can buy it in bulk at Costco or Sam's. So money is a good idea. And the last thing that I almost forgot to mention the first time around, desserts. When we serve our hot dogs, we'd like to give them a dessert. That means 600 individually packaged desserts. Be great if we had something like 600 pieces of pound cake wrapped up in individual packages, you know, a little individual packet. You know, we can do a Hershey bar or something from the store, but y'all make good cakes and cookies and things like that. And if you wouldn't mind just putting them in a little baggie, that would be awesome. But we need people to do desserts. The last thing that I want to say, one more time, keep praying about it. We want this to be a blessing of God. There's also an opportunity you can sign up to share a testimony. You can. We're going to have prayer stations for people to sit in a lounge chair under a shade. And just when people come up and ask for prayer, just sit there and pray with them. Pray with them for whatever issue they're dealing with. We need prayers to sign up to do that. We want this to be a true blessing from God, and you folks are the ones that will make it happen. Thank you.
Who's you on, choir? Who's your one? You got your one yet? Do you? Everybody have your one? Okay. How about y'all? Who's your one? Do you have your one yet? Raise your hand like this if you got your one. Okay. All right. And for those of you that are going, what's a one? You weren't here last week, okay? I hope that you got these materials as you came in if you weren't here last week. And let me tell you this, I've had calls and inquiries this week. If you need additional of these, yes, please come get them or take them with you today, all right? There's additional on a small table as you go out here, and same thing here. They're out on the Information Center. They're on the stage in Smith Hall. They're all over the place. So, yes, they're free for you to take, and please do so. Put these to good use. And if you weren't here last week, the purpose of this is a prayer guide, a 30-day prayer guide with specific guided prayers based on Scripture passages. And your one is the person that you are committing yourself to pray for, to build a relationship with, to do acts of service with and for this person and their family, so that you build a sense of trust and relationship with the goal ultimately of sharing the gospel of Jesus with them, living it out first, and then sharing it with them and inviting them to come to know Christ. So that is the goal of Hoosier One. As I said last week, it may take a while. I had one I invested 25 years in. I had one I invested 2 years in. Both eventually came to know Christ, accepted Christ, and were baptized. I can tell you other stories, and I will be next week, but I'm saying it's a long-term investment that you're making in the life of this person, and it's the Holy Spirit that does the moving there. We're just obedient. We do the praying. We live out the gospel, and that's the way it goes. In doing that, the question becomes, how then do we live out the gospel? Jesus was pretty specific in instructions he gave us, but I want us to go all the way back to the beginning of his public ministry, because we find there several verses that I think are critical, that they're key to understanding what it means to follow Christ, what it means to invest in the lives of others. If you would take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. And we're going to kind of stay in Matthew chapter 4, so you can leave it open there. But Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, you'll recognize this. This happens after the tempting of Jesus in the wilderness, and then Jesus begins to preach, and then he begins calling his first disciples. In verse 18, it says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.'" Now understand, this is NIV 84. I know some of the more modern translations say fishers of person. When it says fishers of men, we're talking about mankind here. So it's same kind of deal. So when I say fishers of men, we're talking about fishers of people. All right? "At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." Now, what's going on here? "Follow me," Jesus said. "Follow me." What does that mean exactly? Well, we've seen some verses that reference what Jesus was saying about following him. And yet, a lot of times for our 21st century American mind, there may be confusion about exactly what does Jesus mean when he says to his disciples then and now to follow him. When Jesus says, "Follow me," what does that mean? So let's look at meanings for follow. Was Jesus meaning that when he said, "Follow me," that we should just kind of amble along with him, kind of enjoy the afternoon, and occasionally exchange small talk, occasionally say something profound? Is that what he was talking about when he said, "Follow me"? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. How about Facebook? What does it mean? I see some of you going, "Oh, gee, yeah, yeah." What does it mean to follow somebody on Facebook? Would that indicate that we need to check and see what he's written? What has Jesus written on his wall that day or that hour or that minute, depending on how obsessed you are with checking other people's walls in Facebook? Is that what he's talking about by following him, just seeing kind of what's on his mind that day? I don't think so. Do either of those interpretations of follow lead to a change in behavior or a discipline to become more like the one we're following? No, they really don't. And to be honest with you, people I follow on Facebook, present company excluded, of course, I don't want to be like them. I just don't want to be like them. So then neither of those, kind of the casual conversational follow or kind of a social media follow, that's I think we can agree, that's not what Jesus was referring to when he called out his disciples and says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people. You know, that's not what he's talking about. Learning to follow Jesus, understand, learning to follow Jesus is critical. It is absolutely critical in our growth as a disciple. Because we must first learn to follow Jesus before we can fish. Does that make sense? We must first learn how to follow Jesus before we can fish. And why do you say that? Why do I say that? Because in this passage, there is an implied intentionality in Jesus' invitation to the disciples, and that includes us. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. The first step is to follow Jesus, then he will make us. If you go back and you read the Greek there and you understand what it's saying, it is very intentional. It is action. It is make or do. And that is done by Jesus, not us. Jesus says, follow me and I'll do the heavy lifting. I will make you fishers of men. So the first step is to follow Jesus, to observe him closely. In our case, reading about him, talking with him, listening to him, seeing what he did, seeing what he said in all of life's circumstances, in the good times, in the parties, as well as the crucifixion. Striving to be more and more like Jesus and less like our selfish selves, okay? Follow Jesus. Talk to him. Listen to him. Learn to see people with his eyes. Learn to act more like him. And only as we are striving to do that will he then make us fishers of people. You might say, okay, that sounds good. What did Jesus do? Well, you can read the whole New Testament, and I encourage you to do so. You know, especially the Gospels, start there, you know, learn what Jesus did, see what he did, see how he interacted with people. But it kind of boils down to this. We're going to stay in Matthew chapter 4, and we're actually going to pick up right where we left off. Because it tells us, it says, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. Next verse, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan did what? Followed him. They followed him. And what was he doing? He was reaching, teaching, ministering. Reaching, teaching, ministering. He was meeting the needs of people, spiritual and physical and social and emotional. That's what he did. Look in Matthew chapter 9, over a couple pages. Matthew chapter 9. After we hear about all these things and we get details on a lot of these things that Jesus is doing, a lot of the healings that's taking place in chapter 7, 8, 9, then we read in verse 35 of chapter 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, again, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, hear this, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, us. He said this to us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What was he doing? He was teaching. He was preaching. He was ministering. He was meeting people's needs. That's what he did. Teaching people about the kingdom. That's what he did. If you go there, I stayed in Matthew just because we started in Matthew, but you can look in the other Gospels. There's similar verses to what we just read in the other Gospels. And if you read the Gospels through that filter of reaching, teaching, ministering, preaching, if you read it through that filter, you'll find out that what we have recorded here, most all of it, most every verse that's recorded falls into this category. It's amazing. It really is amazing. And you say, well, what about the other time? Like, it doesn't say, and Jesus took a nap. Jesus went to sleep. Jesus got up, took a bath. I know. It doesn't record all of that because we didn't need to know that. We got what we need to know. And he was ministering, teaching, reaching, preaching. He was doing those things, helping people, pointing people to his Father. You see, following Jesus is about leaving ourselves behind and becoming more like him every single day. Reaching, teaching, ministering to the needs of people. And all of us are called to do this. It is not, there's no exclusive clauses here. Exclusionary clauses. There's none there. We're supposed to do this as disciples. Now, our circumstances in life are different. I get that. But we're still supposed to be doing that. There's no retirement plan. Well, there is, but, you know, we'll figure that out when we get there, right? Okay? All right, for while we are here, we are to be following Jesus. And then it says, and he makes us into fishers of people. He doesn't invite us to learn how to fish. He invites us to follow him. And then he will make us fishermen, fisherwomen. He does the work. It is a natural growth of becoming more like him. More about that next week when we talk about the second part of this. So all that, if you take then what we've said, what we've discovered, if you take all of that and you look at some of the really super cool marketed kind of evangelism programs and church growth programs that are designed to reach people, quote unquote, for Christ, if they are not discipleship based and if they're not Jesus-centered, they will fail. They may sell, but they will fail, if you get what I mean. They will fail. So many times we try to make fishermen out of people who aren't even following Christ. And it just doesn't work that way. And you say, well, preacher, they're certainly getting a lot of people down at so-and-so church, so they must be doing it right. Really? Well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But remember, our calling is not to fill buildings with people. Our calling is to fill people with Jesus. Amen? That is what we're called to do, teaching them how to follow him. Then the church growth will happen as a result of what we are doing as we follow Jesus obediently. If you go back and read Acts chapter 2, it's not rocket science. Acts chapter 2, it tells all the things that the church was doing to reach out to people. And as Barbie was standing here, I says, it looks a lot like what's going on in our hallway right now. What they were doing then looks a lot like what we're doing right now. And at the very end of that chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it gives the result. It says, and the Lord, not the people, not the pastor, not this guy, not deacon so-and-so, not deacon so-and-so, but the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers. Amen. There's a popular show on CBS these days called God Friended Me. Have y'all seen it? Has anybody seen it? Okay, they're hurting. No. It's a show called God Friended Me. And I had a conversation with someone after the 9 o'clock service about it because, you know, a lot of times when you see these things, you go, oh, that's blasphemy. I'm not going to watch it. Out of curiosity to where I could know, I started watching it. I watched it most of last season. They just started season two. The show is about a pastor's son who is a self-proclaimed and unashamed atheist. Okay? He has this blog that he does, you know, this podcast that he does called Millennial Prophet or something like that. And he talks about just life and that type of stuff. Now, he gets friended, quote unquote, on his Facebook account by an account calling itself God. Okay, so he gets friended by God on Facebook. And as the story unfolds, the God account, if you will, leads this young man and some of his friends and puts them into places where they can help people. And most of the time, the people that they are put there to help don't even know they need helping. Okay, and so it's interesting how it kind of twists and turns through there. And eventually they end up helping these people in all their situations. Meanwhile, the young man's father, who is a pastor, is gently trying to help his son make the link between what they're doing to help people for a Facebook account connect with the true God, the personal Savior. And he's trying to help him best as he can without alienating him, helping him to make that connection. So instead of following the God account on Facebook, he wants his son to follow Jesus Christ, a personal Savior. I'll be interested to see kind of how the series goes, quite honestly, or doesn't, and see kind of how it resolves along the way. I'm not getting my hopes up. Don't get me, you know, get me wrong. This is TV. This is network TV. But I'll be interested to see kind of how it plays out during the course of this season. My point in all of this is that there are people, there are good people, people who still do not know Christ, people who even deny the existence of God, and yet they want to help other people. Isn't that ironic? They want to help other people. How much more should we as believers be fully engaged in reaching, teaching, ministering to the needs of people? How much more should we be involved and engaged in following Jesus and his example? Step one has to be, if you want to lead your one to Jesus, you have to learn to follow Jesus first. Let them see Jesus in your life by reaching, teaching, and ministering to them, by following Jesus. It's been fascinating. This week has been incredibly fascinating. After last week's sermon, some of you called, told me about your one, told me about what you were going to try to do. Keep those calls coming. They're very encouraging. It's really exciting as I see you kind of wrestle with this and kind of get a little traction under it. But Monday, following last Sunday's sermon, last Monday, I went to the Y for my workout, and I met one of my ones there. This is a young man, and he is very much an atheist, so he thinks. He's an atheist, and yet, I always say, why are you so adamant in fighting against, because at times he's kind of militant and very defensive. And I'm like, why are you so adamant and defensive about fighting someone you say doesn't exist? Why are you expending all of this emotional energy to combat something that you say doesn't exist? Well, just relax. Like, well, okay, you got a point. The interesting thing is this young man is very engaged in social ministries. Isn't that wild? When we were preparing the house down here to start being used, when we were doing the landscaping out there, he came out that day and helped us with the landscaping. And I looked at him and said, why do you do this? And he says, because I want to help people. I said, well, why bother? If there's no God, if there's no eternal reward, why bother? Just live for yourself, man, and forget everybody else. And he goes, seriously, Raymond? And I'm just asking, okay? I'm just asking. I'm asking questions. You ask me questions, I'm asking you questions. And he goes, okay, that's a fair question. He said, I just feel like I will be a better person if I help other people. I'm like, oh, yes, you will. But think how much more if you were doing it for eternal reasons, to bless God and His kingdom. Yeah, he'll say. And so when I saw him Monday, he always asked, what's your church doing, man? What's your church doing? What are you involved in? So I laid out our consolidated mission plan for him. They said, man, that sounds exciting. And I said, come be a part of it. He said, I think I will. I said, well, on Wednesday night, November the 6th, we're going to be taking all these canned goods and we're going to be putting them together in these bags, which, by the way, that's by way of announcement. Okay? we'll be in the gym that night. We'll have prayer meeting, and then we'll all go to the gym, and we'll be packing these bags, and we'll be putting them on pallets, wrapping them up. Josh Hoosier's guys are going to be hauling them down after we get all this stuff packed up on that Wednesday night. I said, come help. He said, man, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. I said, we'll see you there. We'll see you there. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, boy. I'm going to have all these people minister to you, brother. Show him Jesus. Show him Jesus. And I think about your ones. Show them Jesus. Invite them to come pack bags with us. Evidently, that's a thing. I don't know. Evidently. Invite them to come be a part of those things that maybe are a little bit less threatening than coming to a, quote, worship service. Let them get engaged. Minister to them and then show them what ministry looks like in your life. Pray for your one daily. I'll be praying for you. As you examine your heart, let your one see Jesus in you, in your speech and in your actions. Let's pray together. Gracious Father. Father, we work at this, but we know it's by your strength. We know it's by your spirit that all of this happens. And so we get that. We understand that. But Father, we also know that we need to be intentional in our plans, in our discipline. Father, in our daily lives, so that we can follow your son Jesus, follow his example, learn more about you by following him. Father, we pray that we would daily seek to live a life that more closely resembles the life that Jesus led as he reached people, as he taught people, as he ministered, as he healed, as he blessed, as he loved. Give us that same heart, that same passion for helping to reach out to others. In your name, for it's in your son's name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. Perhaps you're here this morning and you do not have that personal relationship I've been talking about with Jesus. I'd be glad. I would love to share with you how he can change your life, how you can be in personal relationship with the creator of the universe. I'll be here at the front in just a moment as we stand and sing. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here and you say, I am a believer, but boy, I really need to get more engaged. I really need to get more dialed in to following Christ and allowing him to teach me so that I can learn to fish, that I can be better at fishing. That you can settle that right here this morning. You can settle that as you stand and sing. You can pray and ask God to forgive you and move you forward and reprioritize your life. The altar will be open if you'd rather come and kneel and pray here. That's great. I'll be here if you'd like to speak with me and have me pray with you. I'll be glad to do all of that. If you're here and you say, boy, I'd like to be a member of College Park, we invite you. We receive members by a lot of different ways. Be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. ask you to do one other thing, and I meant to mention it a little bit earlier, but let me ask you to do this. I mentioned last week in here that every major spiritual awakening that's taken place in modern history has begun with people praying. Do you remember that? And then I identified a particular demographic that's specific to that. We trace them back the Great Awakening. All of these things usually started with teenagers praying. Kind of interesting. I was talking with a young man this morning who, as we looked at this material, Who's Your One, I said, you know, the biggest prayer thing that we can do in addition to praying for our one is to pray for our teens. Because if we want people to come to know Christ, what demographic has more exposure to non-believers than teenagers in school? So statistically speaking, that you talk about fertile place to spread the gospel. What better place? What better place? And so pray for our teenagers. There's several of these that are taking this, and I hope all of them, but I know I've heard from several of them, they're taking this very seriously. And they're taking these materials to pass, to give to their friends, to encourage them to in turn to pray for their one and to lead their one to Christ at some point down the road. So pray for our teenagers as they try to be obedient to the calling of Christ in their life. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. After our benediction and choral response, greet one another. Love on one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you that we're a part of a body of believers that take serious the command on our life, the joy of our life, to get to follow Christ. Father, we pray that as we go through this week, we would discover in you that we would be given fresh way to look at things, that we would be excited about loving people and reaching out to them. For it's in your precious Son's name that we pray and ask all of these things. And all of God's people said, amen.